The Senate Bill 812, it deals with reciprocal insurers. It contains language that was worked on in 2015 that was agreed to by all the insurance parties and the Office of Insurance Regulation. The bill passed all the House and Senate committees last session, but they ran out of time in the House. It died on the House floor for reasons you're all aware of. Reciprocal insurer is owned by its policyholders or subscribers. Currently, if a reciprocal is to return savings, premium excesses to its members, it must do so through a subscriber savings account. The subscriber savings account are expensive to manage, so this legislation gives them an option to return the surplus funds to its members without extra administrative burden. Any questions? I'd be happy to try to answer.
Thank you for that explanation, Ms. Gosney. Any questions? Seeing no questions, do we have public comment cards? We have no public testimony on the bill. Do we have debate? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I wave close.
Thank you. This is not your first bill. We will now have Ms. Green call the roll on Senate Bill 812.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert? Senator Huckel?
Yes.
Senator Lee? Senator Margolis? Senator Monford?
Yes.
Senator Negron?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
Senator Richter?
Yes.
Chair Beniquisto?
Yes, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll go now, members, to tab four, which is Senator Richter's, Vice Chair Richter, President Pro Tem Richter's, Senate Bill 458. You're recognized, sir, to present.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 458 proposes a series of reforms to Florida's Structured Settlement Protection Act. It provides that in transfer cases, they would be settled in the county where the payee resides. It requires the payee to be present in person at a hearing so that the judge can offer questions. It provides that a history of any prior transfers by the payee be made known, and it releases the issuer of the financial statements from liability.
Thank you for that explanation. Do we have questions before we go to the amendment? Seeing none, we do have one amendment, and that is barcode 870846, which was timely filed by Senator Richter.
Thank you very much. This amendment really just covers some stylistic changes within the language of the bill, removes the word current where it was inappropriately inserted, and it reconfigures some of the wording to craft a clear update that is consistent with federal law of the underlying model.
Thank you for that explanation. Do we have questions on that amendment? Seeing no questions on that amendment, we have Earl Nesbitt on behalf of the National Association of Settlement Purchasers. Thank you, sir. And Andrew Savisky? Thank you, sir. We're back on the amendment. Do we have any? Do we have debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, we'll show amendment barcode 870846, adopted without objection. We are back on the bill as amended. Do we have questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, we have Paul Jess on behalf of the Florida Justice Association. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Paul Jess for the Florida Justice Association, and I speak only to let the committee know we have no formal position on this bill, but we're certainly not opposed to it. I simply haven't had an opportunity to get my board of directors to weigh in on this issue yet, but we've been speaking with the proponents of the bill, and we look forward to working with them and with Senator Richter as the bill moves through the progress. And again, we're not opposed to the bill. And as I understand it, the bill is an agreement, if you will, between the two major associations. And if you wonder why the Florida Justice Association has an interest in this, it's simply because our trial lawyers work very hard to get the very best structured settlement for their clients. And they just want to make sure that their former clients have some protections in place if they decide to sell their interest in the structured settlements. And this bill, as I read it, would provide, in fact, more protections for the injured person. And so we look forward to working with Senator Richter and others on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Jess. Do we have any debate on this bill? Seeing no debate, Senator Richter, you're recognized to close.
I'll waive my close. Thank you.
Having waived his close, Ms. Green will call the roll for committee substitute for Senate Bill 458.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert? Senator Huckel?
Yes.
Senator Lee? Senator Margolis?
Yes.
Senator Monford?
Yes.
Senator Negron? Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
Senator Richter?
Yes.
Chair Benequisto?
Yes. By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. We'll go to tab three, which is Senate Bill 540 by Senator Huckel on estates. Senator Huckel, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Senators, this estates bill does several things. Number one, it reaffirms the legal principle that Florida law always governs the disposition of real property, Florida real property, even if it's owned by a resident or a non-resident. The bill also specifies a procedure that trustees can use when attorney's fees and costs are sought to be recovered from trust assets with regard to notice, the contents of the notice, the receipt and proof of delivery, and who actually has to prove what. And then the third thing that this bill does is that it provides certain criteria for the non-judicial modification of an irrevocable trust. And that is the bill, and there is one amendment.
Thank you. Do we have any questions on the bill as explained? Seeing none, we'll go to the first amendment, or the only amendment, which is Amendment Barcode 698194, which was timely filed by Senator Huckel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senators, all this bill does is I had the incorrect numerical reference for the rules of civil procedure, and this corrects it to read the correct number.
Thank you. Do we have questions on that amendment? Seeing none, we have no public testimony on the amendment. Without debate, we'll show that amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Do we have questions on the bill as amended? We do have two individuals, Martha Edenfield with the Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar. Thank you. And Kenneth Pratt on behalf of the Florida Bankers. Thank you, sir. Senator Huckel, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you. I'll waive close.
Thank you. Having waived her close, Ms. Green will call the roll for CS for Senate Bill 540.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert?
Yes.
Senator Huckel?
Yes.
Senator Lee? Senator Margolis?
Yes.
Senator Monford?
Yes.
Senator Negron?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith? Senator Richter?
Yes.
Chair Benequisto?
Yes, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Next, members will go to tab two, which is Senate Bill 286 by Senator Brandis, who could not be here. And his aide, Vanessa Thompson, is here to present her very first bill. And I must tell you, Ms. Thompson, your colleagues in Senator Brandis's office have stopped by my office no less than five or six times to remind me that it was your first bill.
Aren't they so sweet?
They
I
are.
Love them.
They
I love
are.
Them. I do work in a great office.
Well, we've met many of them, so you go on ahead and explain the bill and do a better job than they did.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me present this for Senator Brandis today. There is a strike all on this bill.
She's wearing rouge.
Okay, we will go to that strike all, which is timely filed. Amendment barcode 461312, which was a courtesy by Senator Negron, but you're recognized.
Thank you. This amendment incorporates the provisions of the merger and acquisitions broker model law adopted by the North American Security Administrators Association, NASA for short. This amendment exempts the securities transaction in connection with the transfer of ownership of an eligible privately held company, which is a company that does not have securities subject to registration under federal or state securities laws, and in its prior fiscal law had EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization of less than $25 million or gross revenue of less than $250 million through a merger and acquisitions broker that meets statutory exemption requirements. That is the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Thompson on the amendment? Seeing no questions, we have one public comment. Michael Ertel on behalf of the Business Brokers of Florida. Thank you, sir.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Clemens.
I apologize. I didn't have a question for the presenter, but is there anyone from OFR here? Do you know?
Yes, sir.
Would it be appropriate to ask a question of OFR, if I might?
Of course. If you'd come up, please, and identify yourself and fill out a public comment card, that would be appreciated.
Good afternoon. My name is Meredith Henschelwood. I'm the Deputy Director of Governmental Relations at the Office of Financial Regulation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Meredith, you know, currently we have this system in place, and I'm assuming it was designed for a reason. Can you tell us how it works right now in terms of what OFR oversees when these smaller mergers and acquisitions take place?
Sure. Well, and actually I'd like to point out two key exemptions that that already exist for depending on the size of the corporation. So where two corporations have $500,000 or more in assets and where the sale price is $50,000 or more, the transactions are exempt under Chapter 517. And in addition to that, mergers approved by the vote of the security holders are transactions that also qualify for an exemption. And so basically, you know, given the fact that there's already exemptions for, you know, those two formulations of exemptions, there's a lot of overlap between what already exists as far as an exemption and what this bill would further exempt. As far as, and should I go into more of a general overview of?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, what I was looking for is just kind of what your role is right now and how this changes that role. I just needed to get a little bit more.
Actually, with me, I have some of our subject matter experts from the Division of Securities, and so I'd like to call up someone from the division to, if that's okay with you, to speak more specifically.
In pursuit of getting your question answered, if it's relative to the your understanding of the bill, certainly.
Okay, one moment, please.
And as they're coming up, Madam Chair, if I might, I'm just trying to make sure as they come up, whoever's coming up, there we go.
They're a little reluctant to come up.
What I'm trying to get at is what we're now exempting people from. In other words, is there a process here that we're now, as we're taking away these requirements and the extra fees and things of that nature, are we lessening consumer protections in any way? That's kind of what I'm trying to get at is by doing this, what the effect is going to be, what we're going to be missing out on.
Okay. I think Ms. Thompson will, I'm sure, be able to answer some of those questions when we come back after the amendment is adopted, because I think on behalf of the sponsor, she should do that as well.
Okay. And right now we have Michael Lawrence, who's the Chief Counsel of the Division of Securities.
Thank you.
Mr. Lawrence?
Madam Chair, and can you just repeat your question some?
Sure. My concern, I don't know if it's a concern or not. What I'm looking for is this bill obviously seeks to reduce fees and get rid of some might consider overregulation, and I'm trying to make sure that by reducing that regulation, we're not reducing protection. So I'm just trying to get at, not knowing much about mergers and acquisitions, I've only done a few myself. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get at how that process works and what we're going to be changing here that could have any negative effect on consumers.
Mr. Lawrence.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. As was explained, there's two exemptions that apply in some situations already. This is more a blanket exception for the whole industry. Normally, you have attorneys and all who help broker these deals. We haven't had any cases since I've been there, research before, that involve bringing actions against anyone in this situation. So that's why the office hasn't taken an official position of supporting or opposing and have worked on with the bill, but that's kind of the general area. We haven't seen any issues with this that raised any concerns on consumer protection.
Of course.
Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So is it your position and the office's position that those steps that you have to take currently when there isn't an exemption are unnecessary?
Mr. Lawrence.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We feel that this, as a broad exemption, it helps for the entire industry, for those that may not fall under it. It's also, and it's not our bill, obviously, it's modeled a lot after federal legislation that's in the process, as well as NASA had done a group on the issue and come up with a model rule. And it's kind of a more general for the whole industry for an exemption. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has already issued a no-action letter on the federal end, which basically says we will not go after you for doing this type of transaction. So then the states have been following kind of in that line, and that's how this, I believe, came up.
Thank you. Senator Dieter?
Yeah, I'm sympathizing with Senator Clements. I think we just want to feel a little bit more comfortable with this and need a better explanation. It's fun to pick on the aide, but we'd like an actual explanation of why we're doing this. So follow me along on this. It says September 2015, the NAASA adopted a model rule, which other states have adopted. Is that why we're doing this, that we're kind of conforming with California, Texas, Utah, which limited this?
Senator Dieter, I appreciate your question. I want to be sure that that's addressed towards the bill sponsor. And
whoever can answer the question.
Yes, if I may. I
can't speak to intent, though.
Correct. And I just wanted to clarify, this is not the Office of Financial Regulations bill. It just doesn't cause us such regulatory concern to where we would need to oppose it. So we've really remained neutral on it. Of course, working with staff of the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee to craft the strike all amendment, tailoring it to Florida law and whatnot. So while it doesn't concern us, to oppose it, I certainly don't want to have us speak as to the intent of the bill when that's certainly the bill sponsor.
Okay, and this would be for the bill sponsor question. Next question.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Thompson. Questions on the amendment?
So here's the question. So if we're bringing this, if the reason for doing the bill is to conform to NAASA rules, a model rule that other states are adopting, under the staff analysis it says that the final NAASA model rule was adopted subsequent to the filing of the Senate bill, and the Senate bill does not contain all of the provisions of the model rule. So in your next stop, will you be including all of the provisions?
What brings it up with the NASA model.
So you're saying the strike all covers that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions for Ms. Thompson on the amendment? Seeing none, do we have debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Thank you. Seeing no objection to the amendment, we'll show amendment barcode 461312 adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Do we have questions on the bill as amended? We have no public comment cards on the bill as amended. Debate? Senator Clemens in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to vote for the bill. I'm still unclear, and maybe as it moves forward, we can get a little bit more clarity as to why whenever you deregulate something, there was hopefully an original purpose for the regulation, and I didn't hear from OFR. They're neutral on the bill, so I don't know if they like the fact that we're deregulating. They don't care. I'm just a little curious as we move forward. I'd like to have a better answer for that. But
Madam Chair,
I'll support the bill today.
Senator Richter in debate.
If maybe I can give it a try to clarify things. It appears to me from looking at the bill, I think the OFR, they're neutral. They probably could have come out and made life a lot easier and said they support the bill. Lack of opposition from a regulator means you're typically supportive. But it appears today that these brokers are strictly registering with the Office of Financial Regulations, and that you, as an OFR, as a regulatory body, aren't really regulating them. They're just registering with you. And I think if that's a correct assumption, that you're not examining them, you're not regulating them, you're not going in, they're registering with you, this removes the requirement they register with you, which typically is like removing a screen door from a submarine. It doesn't really do anything. So that's why you want to relieve them from that registration. Would that be a correct summary?
Well, we're in debate, so we'd have to call them back up to the podium to answer the question.
I don't need that to happen.
Okay, we'll make sure that when Senator Brandis presents the bill next, that these concerns are addressed. But I thank you for adding that commentary, Senator Richter. Any additional debate on the bill? Seeing no additional debate, you're recognized to close.
Madam Chair, just to maybe clarify a little bit, the cost in order for companies or brokers to comply with the broker dealer regulatory requirements. Upfront is $150,000, and then annually it's $75,000 or more after that. So I believe the intent of the bill is to take that burden off of these companies, and there are provisions in the bill that should offer consumer protection. That gets very intricate in certain statutes, and I'm sure that Banking Insurance Committee could answer those questions much better than I could, but I just kind of wanted to throw that in there. And other than that, I will waive my close.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Thompson, having closed, Ms. Green will call the roll for CS for Senate Bill 286.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert?
Yes.
Senator Huckel?
Yes.
Senator Lee?
Yes.
Senator Margolis?
Yes.
Senator Monford?
Yes.
Senator Negron?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
Senator Richter?
Yes.
Chair Benequisto?
Yes, and by your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Yes. President Margolis?
I wish to be recorded yes on Senate Bill 812.
Show that motion adopted.
Thank
without
you.
Objection.
Madam
President
Chair.
Lee?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I, too, want to be recorded favorably on 812, 458, and 540.
Show that motion adopted.
Madam Chair, I had a motion.
I've got one, too.
Senator Negron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could I be shown as voting in the affirmative on Senate Bill 458, please?
Yes, sir. Without objection, Senator Dietert.
I would like to be shown as voting yes on 812 and 458.
We'll show
as
that.
As amended.
Adopted without objection. Leader Smith, how
Madam
are you?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
With your indulgence, I'd like to be shown as voting in the favor and the affirmative on Senate Bill 540 by the great chairman, Chairwoman Huckel. I'd like to be shown voting in the favor of her bill since I got two bills headed to her committee now. And a strong yes on her bill.
That is a wise move, Leader Smith. Thank you very much. We'll
Thank
show
you.
That adopted without objection. And is that it? No further business to come before the committee. Senator Lee moves. We adjourn.